Happy Thursday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dowdle, presenting our macro minute for Thursday, July 16th, 2026. As always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, will the Kevin Warsh Fed be friend or foe in the years to come? The short answer is, it depends on who or what you are. Winners likely include any person or entity on board with quashing the K-shaped monetary policy drivers of the socially destabilizing wealth pump, which is the category-defining term that Dr. Peter Turchin and his colleagues at CrisisDB used to describe the K-shaped fiscal policy, K-shaped monetary policy, and K-shaped regulatory policy that elites have increasingly used over the past 50 years to siphon income and wealth from the bottom 80 to 90% of the population to the top 10 to 20%. Losers likely include any person or entity whose sources of income and wealth demand resistance to any policy that attempts to pivot the U.S.'s K-shaped economy to an E-shaped economy. Refer to our June 12th leadoff morning note for more details, which we published broadly. You can check that out. I think I published it to Twitter and LinkedIn as well. So hopefully everyone gets their hands on that and passes it around, because I think we're doing the Lord's work here. So anyway, getting back to the research, in terms of analytical nuance, here are the most important signals that we acquired or had confirmed regarding the evolving structural outlook for U.S. monetary policy in Chair Warsh's 2 hours of testimony yesterday to the Senate Banking Committee. Number one, consistent with our Bayesian prior, the historically unaccountable groupthink that caused the Fed to, quote, look through and outright blame supply shocks for persistent failure to achieve its price stability mandate is likely in the rearview mirror. In the context of the inflationary structural disintegration of the geopolitical world order, this dynamic represents structural right tail risk for the US dollar and treasury bonds. Conversely, it represents structural left tail risk for risk assets and gold. Number two, consistent with our Bayesian prior, the Fed will likely pivot its reaction function to focusing on more real-time measures of inflation, which have lagged realized inflation in recent years. This outcome has dovish policy implications. Number three, Chair Warsh's view that the positive demand shock from AI CapEx is not inflationary, even if it causes temporary increase in prices. Chair Warsh's view is that the positive demand shock from AI CapEx is not inflationary, even if it causes a temporary increase in prices, because all the investment will likely lead to a positive supply shock down the road. This view has dovish policy implications. We'll skip ahead here, just jump into number eight, and then we'll conclude with number 11. Number eight, consistent with our Bayesian prior, Chair Warsh is not on board with Paradigm D, which is the print phase of the cut, grow, print menu of treatment options designed to treat the U.S.'s sovereign's debt disease and the market disequilibrium that it causes, which is Paradigm A. We call it Paradigm B is the cut phase, Paradigm C, the current phase, is the grow phase, and Paradigm D, which is the print phase. Him not being on board with Paradigm D, the print phase, all but guarantees will be right on our Bayesian prior that the Fed will seek to deregulate U.S. commercial banks in a way that passes the hot potato of marketable treasury supply exclusively to large banks, which typically and overwhelmingly serve large customers. This will allow the Fed to focus incremental deregulation efforts on small banks, which would accelerate the credit impulse in the real economy, according to the seminal research of Dr. Richard Warner. And then finally, shifting to number 11, Chair Warsh is not a fan of K-shaped monetary policy, which is ultimately what Paradigm D, the print phase, represents. While it is highly unlikely that he'll ever communicate this with such blunt terminology, he is saying all the right things to those of us who are listening. Thus, it is likely that he will seek to delay the advent of Paradigm D by doing everything in his power to perpetuate Paradigm C, the grow phase. Those of us who assume this automatically translates to dovish monetary policy may be disappointed. Why? Because play action passing, i.e. tightening cyclically to set up the run, i.e. easing structurally, creates the maximum amount of scope to prolong the business cycle for a central bank that is currently projecting to miss its own inflation target for 7 consecutive years. As always, a wrap up with a question from our community. This one's titled Kiss Future Treasury Bonds, Treasury Bonds for International Users. It says, hi, based on the recent leadoff morning note, it seems the view is Treasury Bonds may be coming back to KISS. Is a newish subscriber. I've only known equity, gold, and Bitcoin, that version of KISS. As an international UK investor, can I ask so that I can be prepared what expected Treasury Bonds may look like, i.e. duration? Would one expect long, intermediate, or short-term bonds, or an ag type, so that I can look for UK-based ETFs that track US bonds, albeit with currency exchange risk. Alternatively, I could buy UK gilts to remove FX risk. But again, the duration or blend would be helpful to know. Any thoughts to get prepared, please? So, great question. This is a question I've been thinking about internally for months now, ever since the first big drawdown we saw in gold going back to January 30th, when the Kevin Warsh announcement was made for for when Kevin Warsh was officially nominated for Fed chair. Recall that gold was down over 10% that day. Silver was down over 20% that day. I think those were two of the more sizable declines that we'd ever seen in those asset classes day over day. I'll never forget it because it was the day that I lost the maximum amount of money in my portfolio as an investor, having been doing this for 2 decades. So anyway. In my opinion, I think that was a big wake-up call. That was a signal that, hey, this expectation in the marketplace that we're going to gradually move towards paradigm D with no interruption or intermission is maybe a misguided expectation. And maybe that's what Bitcoin has been signaling since last fall, albeit I do believe that Bitcoin has been challenged by some of the more idiosyncratic endogenous factors within that asset class, namely the overapplication of leverage from some of the some of the Bitcoin reserve companies. I won't name names. Anyway, so going back to the question. So when we last prior to replacing our 30% target allocation to bonds with gold back in October of 2024 in KISS, we featured AG, which is the core U.S. aggregate bond fund. I believe it had a duration somewhere around 5.5 to 6.5 years. And so if we pivot back to bonds, which I'm not saying we are doing that anytime soon, I don't think it's appropriate to do that anytime soon because we ultimately think the Fed is play action passing to set up the run. And if they set up the run easing structurally, that will be positive for gold, that will be positive for Bitcoin, even if we delay the onset of paradigm D. I don't know that we know the answers yet, but again, this is why we rely on their institutional grade risk management overlays that apply the vol targeting and dynamic position sizing to KISS and Dr. Mo, as opposed to what's going on in my brain. Because what's going on in my brain, albeit incredibly well researched, again, I think I publish more research than any human being on Global Wall Street on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. What's going on in my head is not appropriate enough to manage a risk with, in my opinion. And again, it's incredibly informed views. So just getting back into the question, if we did pivot that 30% target allocation to gold back to bonds, we would move gold down, we would change the Bitcoin allocation most likely, put, kind of downgrade gold to the 10% target allocation, and then ultimately swap in something like an international aggregate. I believe BNDX is the ticker for that. Instead of the US aggregate, we want to not be taking factor risk from a geographic standpoint in KISS going forward, which is consistent with the move we made to swap out the S&P 500 for VT, for global equities, the global equity market, I want to say back in February of this year. So, again, I'm previewing that, but I'm not saying it's imminent. It's highly unlikely to be imminent, in our opinion. We have a lot more data to gather. We have a lot more data to analyze, and ultimately, we have a lot more policy signals to digest between now and let's call it the next maybe 3, 4 quarters to really get a genuine sense of if this is the appropriate strategy to make that pivot back to bonds in KISS. So we'll wrap it up there. Darius Dell here presenting our macro minute for Thursday, July 16th, 2026. Best of luck out there today. I think we're going to have some scheduling conflicts tomorrow, so we will catch you back here on Monday. Everyone, have a wonderful weekend. Cheers.
If you enjoyed this content, please remember to like and subscribe. Thank you. This content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation. Reliance upon the information in this material is at the sole discretion of the viewer or listener. Investing involves risks. Any reference to a company, issuer, or investment strategy is for instructive purposes only and does not constitute investment advice. For full disclosures, visit 42macro.com/disclaimer.